1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
Brought to you by the Marcus Majestic Parking Lot Cinema. For a unique double feature drive-in experience, check out this week's movie selections at marcustheaters.com/parkinglotcinema.
Time for some serious music news with our serious news reporter, Gary Graff. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
I'm feeling serious. How are you?
Very good. Grim. Hey, I have to ask you right off because I know we'll forget. This Gordon Lightfoot thing that's been haunting us for three...
Yes, you know, I didn't put on the sheet that I had your answer. So the reason why it had a limited run on the assorted digital site and streaming sites is because it comes out on DVD and Blu-ray on Tuesday.
So I can't
purchase it on Tuesday, and you'll be able to purchase it via those services. It'll go back up, and you'll be able to purchase it as a download.
You've seen it, correct?
Yes.
And?
It's well worth it.
They're going to want $19 for this on.
They are, and it depends Apple, on if you feel like you have a spare $19.
Tuesday the 25th.
I mean, I'm not big on owning anything anymore.
Really?
You know? If you looked at my office, you would never guess that. But
you get sent a lot of copies to review.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But I am finding the delights of having a little less clutter. So you might want to wait for it to return to a streaming.
Scale of 1 to 10, where would you put it? The Gordon Lightfoot.
Yeah, I give it a good 7.
If you could read my mind, 7. I have bought 2s.
Okay, then you should definitely buy it. Then.
Yeah, and I'm a Gordon Lightfoot fan. I always liked his stuff, right?
It's definitely Illuminae. They did a good job of taking you inside the guy in this. So, I really think it's a very good documentary.
If I had to pick my favorite Canadian singer, I'd take him over Anne Murray, right?
Oh, even over Geddy Lee?
Nah, I'm not that big a Rush
over
fan.
Burton, so. Over Burton Cummings?
Burton Cummings had a great voice.
He had a great voice.
Great voice.
And Randy Bachman's no slouch.
Randy Bachman yelled at me once, so he's off the list.
Celine Dion?
No yelling there.
No, she never yelled at me, but if she did, you'd definitely hear it.
Right. Oh, without a doubt. it would be high and piercing.
Yeah, I'll take Gordon Lightfoot over all those. Yeah, I will.
All right. Well, next Tuesday, 25th, it'll be out there for you.
All right. All right. And you say it's a 7.
Yeah, I'd give it a solid 7.
You know if I don't like it, I'm going to scream at you next
time. I do know that.
So you can't win. So you may as well recommend it. This is like the never-ending story right here. This has no end to it. Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven, copyright case, appealed to the Supreme Court.
The Supreme Court, yes. They've the plaintiff in this case, which is a guy named Michael Skidmore, who's the trustee of Randy California from Spirit, has lost twice already. The claim is that Led Zeppelin ripped off the Spirit song Taurus for Stairway to Heaven, particularly the introduction. Lost in the regular federal court, lost in the appeals court. Now he's appealing to the Supreme Court. It's, he's filed the document asking for the Supreme Court to review it. The claim maintains the same, that the jury in the original case was not presented with the proper evidence. They were not allowed to hear recordings, but rather they had a guitarist come into the court to play the two songs, and the plaintiff, Skidmore's attorney, feels that was not the best way for the jury to hear the music in order to make a decision.
I don't blame the guy for pursuing this. Because if he wins, the money has to be crazy, right?
Oh, you would think, and especially if the award is backdated to 1971.
Right. So
really, you don't oppose people bringing things to court just because it's a
no, no. Have you heard the key progression?
I have not.
The chord progression, no. Gary. It's not far off, right?
It's, you can certainly cast some doubt.
I wouldn't call it frivolous. I'll say that at least.
No. And I do think the claim on which he's basing the appeals actually does have some merit. I mean, why wouldn't you play two recordings if that's what the issue is?
Where did the cross-pollination occur where the guy,
Well, they're saying, at least the plaintiff, Skidmore, is saying that, Spirit played shows, toured with Led Zeppelin.
Okay.
at a certain point when Taurus was out and they were playing it and before Stairway to Heaven was written and recorded.
So the timeline certainly falls in their favor. Like, hey, we're touring with these guys. We're playing this. They heard it.
Right. And they copied it.
Right. Whether it was intentional or not, there's some very close similarities.
If you're sitting backstage and just strumming on your guitar and someone else hears it and they use that strumification to write a song.
You know, it's the unconscious.
Right.
You know, that was George Harrison's defense with My Sweet Lord. You know, that it was an unconscious copy.
And who did he rip off? Who won that?
It was He's So Fine.
Yeah, right. And I never heard any similarity in those two.
But if you write something based on what you just heard in the environment that you were in.
Oh, no, it was, that one was pretty clear cut.
All right.
Yeah. I understand why they would keep pursuing it. I can actually see it from their side.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, right now the Supreme Court's off, so I think it's not till fall that they'll make the decision about if they'll even hear it, which means it's probably not till 2021 that they would even hear it if they're in session. You know, with the pandemic.
All right.
Okay. I was watching Paul Stanley on The Big Interview. It's an older one with Dan Rather. It's not a current one. But they were talking about his relationship with Gene Simmons. And he says, well, you can see Gene's house, right? It's right down there. That's how close we live together. We can walk to each other's houses. Not for long, right? Gene Simmons
not.
Is selling his place.
Yeah, you know, Gene Simmons has put the house up for sale. This is his Hollywood Hills house, you know, three-level house. All sorts of amenities. He's asking $2.2 million for it. He bought it for $1.45 million in 2013. It's four bedrooms, two baths, split level.
$2.2 million,
that's kind of low for that part of the world. I mean, I thought everything in Southern California started at $2.5 million or $3 million.
And it would need a lot of work at $2.2 million.
Yeah, right. You know, if you got to mop up the blood and the fire stain, the fire, you know, singes from when he practiced. You know, it takes a little bit of the value off. But that's up for sale. And also Zappawood, Frank Zappa's very famous house in Laurel Canyon. Now, this is a bargain, $999,000.
Laurel Canyon, who else has lived in this house?
Not lived in the house, but, you know, it was visited and used by because Frank Zappa set up a studio there. It was used by Mick Jagger, Jimi Hendrix, Jeff Beck, of course, all the mothers of invention, John Mayall. Lots of others. It was undoubtedly visited by all the denizens of Laurel Canyon during the 60s and 70s.
But the history of Laurel Canyon is, you know, there was Joni Mitchell, Boris Karloff, Jackson Brown,
Crosby, Stills, Nash.
Right.
Formed in Laurel Canyon. You had the Mamas and the Papas.
So Laurel Canyon is rich with a lot of people.
There's a Laurel Canyon TV series.
Yeah, and what's interesting about this is, I guess, the log cabin has been torn down. It's no longer on the site. But it's still a big, sprawling, multi-acre site that you could build some really nice stuff on.
Okay.
So, and again, a bargain at just under $1 million.
Yeah, it has to be a dump, right? Is it a teardown?
Well, there's nothing on it. It's a build-up.
So it's all gone? Everything?
It's all gone,
oh, okay.
Except for the land, and I guess there's still some pathways and some of the stone steps and some of the other accoutrements that the Zappas put onto the property.
All right. Peter Frampton, Paul Rodgers, Rick Wakeman all did their covers of what, Stand By Me?
Well, they're teaming up together to do a version of Stand By Me. This is going to be a benefit single, and this will be for British music charities, you know, for the musicians who are, you know, and crew who are out of work. Britain has been really together. The U.S. has some stuff that's been done to benefit the workers, but, you know, Britain seems to be really in this very united lockstep for it. The charity's called Help Musicians, and they're trying to, like it says, help these people who don't have gigs to play anymore, even though the U.K. and Europe have opened up a little bit for concerts, but now things are spiking again over there, so everybody's thinking, you know, oh no, they're gonna shut everything down again. But that'll be out. They haven't announced a release date. I'm sorry, they haven't announced a release date for October 27, which is 60 years to the day that Benny King first recorded the track.
Hey, isn't that a coincidence?
Yeah, there you go. Frampton, by the way, has been chosen as the guest keynote speaker for this year's Myositis Association's vertical conference, which is going to take place September 11th through 13th. He, of course, has myositis. You know, it's kind of ended his performing career, even though he continues to record. So he'll deliver the keynote speech there and help raise some awareness for that disorder.
All right, since we're in sick bay, Quiet Riot's drummer, as if he didn't have enough going on, a stroke this week.
Right, yeah, he's Frankie Vinali, not in great health. You know, he's been battling stage 4 pancreatic cancer. This week he's recuperating after suffering a stroke. He was in the hospital when it happened, so he's being well cared for. And, you know, there's a GoFundMe campaign to cover some of these medical expenses, and you know, the family did come out very quickly to say he's not on his deathbed, you know, but he, you know, clearly the guy is
well, if you start a sentence with that, that's not a great, you know, forecast of how you are.
Nope. So you only wish the best for him.
He's not on his deathbed, but it's in the room, it feels like.
Said the word death.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Not trying to be clever or anything there. But.
Right. But no, he's, you know, clearly he's on watch.
Okay. So we talked about who wrote Stairway to Heaven, who owns Stairway to Heaven, who owes who what for Stairway to Heaven, who owns Black Sabbath?
Yeah, this is interesting. Sharon Osbourne was doing an interview recently, and somebody did say to her, so what's the deal? And she basically said that Ozzy Osbourne and Tony Iommi, the guitarist, do own the name. Geezer Butler, the bassist, Bill Ward, the drummer, do not. You know, they are paid employees for the band they co-founded.
That's not unusual for a band.
No, that happened. That does happen. And, you know, sometimes that's used as leverage for certain band members to be part of the band. So, it is Ozzy and Tony. I mean, what's interesting is Geezer was the band's primary lyricist.
Okay.
You know, so it seems kind of strange and unfortunate for him to not be one of the owners of the band, but as it is now, he's a gun for hire. And this, of course, sheds light on why Bill Ward didn't do the farewell tour with them. You know, he had alluded to contractual things going on. I suspect Sharon Osbourne didn't specify. I suspect that's when the power grab happened. And when Ozzy and Tony got control of the name. And, you know, Geezer said yes. Bill Ward said, no, I'm not having that. And left. We will be seeing, by the way, a whole lot of Ozzy in the near future. There's a biopic in the works that they are promising will not be sanitized. You know, will not be like Bohemian Rhapsody or any of these other biopics that kind of don't give you the whole picture of the personality. In fact, you know, it does appear that this one's going to be very tightly focused on the time from the end of Sabbath through the early days of Ozzy's solo career, and you know, that'll include his courtship and marriage to Sharon. That could be interesting. And then there's a documentary coming out on the A&E Network, one of their biography series. It's called The 9 Lives of Ozzy Osbourne. And that should be pretty interesting. That's going to air on September 7th.
We were talking about this a little earlier before. What's better, authorized or unauthorized biography?
You know, it depends on how the authorized subject is with it. You know, if they open up,
right?
You know, it can be great. You know, like the Rush documentary was tremendous.
But then it could be also too controlling, too.
Right,
too
exactly.
Much spin.
And, you know, it always, when you have an authorized biopic, it does raise the specter that, okay, this has been sanitized, but,
yeah.
You know.
Well, you've written books that were unauthorized, right?
Unauthorized.
You did one on Seeger, who you know very well.
Right.
You did one on Springsteen, who I don't know how well you know him. I mean.
Right, but it was not going to go there. And then and Neil Young.
So how are you in Seeger with the unauthorized version of
That's fine. You know, that one was more of a photo book. It was a collaboration with a guy who had been his tour manager in the early days and was also his official photographer. So we had all these great shots from the vaults. And the Seeger camp was actually behind it. They didn't necessarily participate, but they...
So even though it's unauthorized, doesn't mean they're against it.
Correct. Yeah, and you know, that's often not, you know... You know, you look at the Peter Ames Springsteen biography, which I actually like better than Bruce's book. It was unauthorized, but Bruce clearly participated and helped.
I get that. It's like, you want to write a book? Fine, ask what you want. But
so I don't have to sit down and do all the interviews and stuff. But I'll help you a little.
Neil Young is, of the three of those people that you just mentioned, I would think would be the most difficult. I mean,
well, he has the very famous story about the Shaky biography that came out. Boy, we're going back. This must be 20 plus years
ago. Go ahead.
He had made a deal for an authorized biography with this author, and they went through it, and at the last minute, Neil pulled it.
Oh.
Said, no, we're not going to do it. I don't want it to come out, this and that. The author basically,
wasted the guy's months of time.
So he put it out. He put it out and asked for forgiveness rather than permission. The courts ruled in his favor.
In the author's favor.
In the author's favor. Okay. And so we got Shaky.
And how was it?
It was good. It was really good. Really interesting. A little bit negative, but, given the experience of doing it.
But that's typical Neil Young, isn't it? I mean,
sure. There's a lot of that. And Neil has written a few books himself at this point. His first one I did not think was particularly good. Waging Heavy Peace, it was called. Then he put out another one that was about kind of his life through the vantage point of the cars he's owned, and he's a car nut. And that one was much more revealing and much more interesting.
Neil Young is a car nut. Interesting.
Oh, yeah. He rebuilds and all that kind of stuff.
I would have thought Seeger was a car nut because he's from
Seeger
Detroit.
Likes cars. The big car nut in rock and roll is, well, two. Jeff Beck and Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top.
Billy Gibbons,
But Jeff Beck actually gets greasy.
Yeah,
he gets in his garage and he does it. He does the work.
Yeah, I like that.
Like on a kind of a Jay Leno scale, or really
Leno's on it. Leno's in a whole different.
I don't know how greasy Jay gets.
No,
he's got a lot of money to get other people greasy.
Other people to get greasy.
He knows
whereas Jeff Beck
work,
is the guy who gets greasy.
Yeah.
He spends all his time online, like looking for vintage guitar or car parts.
Car parts, really? That's interesting.
Hey, I found this great, Fender Stratocaster. Screw that! I want a chassis or something.
Right. Yeah, if he's talking about a Fender, you have no idea what.
Yeah, the wrong Fender.
Going. How's Britney Spears?
She is still in conservatorship. This week was the week in court. Where she went in, she went to court and said, asked them to remove her father as the conservator, and she wanted her care manager. I guess when you're in a conservatorship, you got a care manager. Her name's Jody Montgomery. She wanted her to replace Jamie Spears, her father, as a conservator.
But he kind of wants out of that role, doesn't he? Because
well,
he says, I'm getting
old.
He
doesn't want out of it. He is no longer the full-time conservator due to personal health reasons, but he still is the lead conservator, and he's denied any wrongdoing or anything like that. I mean, in the case of Britney, we have this has been going on now for 12 years, and she's in her 30s, and I think she wants to have her life back, and if it can't be her dad, she wants it to be, I assume she spends more time with the care manager than she does with the, with her dad.
This is getting hard for me to understand because she was in bad shape. And since other people have been managing her, I think she's in a much better place.
She's in a much better place, but her argument, and understandable, is that, I am in a much better place. I'm a grown-up now. I was bad once. Now I'm much, much better. I'm functional. I can do this. I'm in my 30s. Please give me my life back.
Right, and I agree with that. It's like at some point she's a grown-up adult, and what you can rob someone of the ability to make their own decisions for how long? Because the courts keep agreeing with that. It's like, well, no, you still need to be.
Yeah. Apparently, this is going to get reheard in February 2021.
If she really wanted to be out from under their thumb, she has the firepower to hire attorneys, right? And shake it all off and go.
So
no,
why doesn't
I'm
she?
Done. Yeah. Well, I don't know. That's
Gary. She's not answering calls.
So if she just was released out into the, out of the corral and got to run wild, would she be okay, do you think?
I hope so.
I do too, but I just...
There's indications, yes, that she would be okay.
there are indications that she would be
right,
okay.
So what is it? What is the big red flag that keeps her out?
Can
of
we let her out into a can we just let her out into a fenced 40 acres for a couple of days?
Right, is there like a test program where
I like that.
Just
well,
let
you
her
suggest that, especially in Vegas. You can, you know, I mean, you can put her somewhere in the desert.
Right. Not let Las Vegas. You can't start in Las Vegas, Gary.
Well, in the desert. You know, away from Las Vegas.
I would pick Utah.
Okay.
Would you?
Yeah, not Nevada. We're getting late on time here. Charlie Daniels, his volunteer jam.
Yeah, there is no more, sadly. Of course, there is no more Charlie Daniels, but the volunteer jam will go on. You know, he started this thing like eons ago in 1974, you know, the fundraising charity concert. So this year, and they're hoping in person, February 22nd in Nashville, the Charlie Daniels volunteer jam will go on. They're going to call it a musical salute to Charlie Daniels. Alabama, Ricky Skaggs, Old Crow Medicine Show, Junior Brown and CeCe Winans, Chris Jansen, Marshall Tucker Band, the Gatlin Brothers, a few others are on the list. The Outlaws, 38 Special, Almond Betts Band, Atlanta Rhythm Section. So a big night. It's always a big night.
Wait, did you say Atlanta Rhythm Section?
Yeah.
Boy, when was the last time? I haven't heard about them and Ronnie Hammond and
yeah, forever. They're still around in some way, shape, or form.
It just why
Mickey
do I,
Gilly's on the bill here.
Well, Mickey Gilly.
Pure Prairie League, so, you know.
Pure Prairie, what?
Yeah.
This is like the 1978 playlist right here that you're naming.
That would be the volunteer jam.
All right. There you go. Vince Gill will not be with Pure Prairie League, though, right?
Who knows? You know, if somebody reaches out and they say...
it is in Nashville.
Is there a law
right?
against it?
No.
They didn't pass a law against Vince Gill being in Pure Prairie League.
And I've seen video of Vince where he's just playing in a bar and lets a guy sing.
Right. So, you know, that could be a way for him or even Timothy B. Schmidt. Well, no, Timothy B. Schmidt was in Poco. So.
Yeah.
And they're not on the bill yet.
Right. And
yes.
Vince Gill can't take Timothy B. Schmidt with him everywhere he goes.
This is true.
All right. So.
Well, let him try.
All right, Gary, we're out of time.
All right. You guys take care. Have a good weekend.
All right. We'll talk to you in two weeks.
2 weeks,
Gary. Yes. All right.
The A team is on next week.
Yeah, babe.
All right. We'll talk to you then.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Gary Graff, our music guy.